Well, I talked about the name a little bit. Your signature shows what you present to the world. And the rest of your writing shows what you really like. Do you ever notice that the person's signature is often a lot different than his regular writing? That's because the way he wants to his image to appear is a lot different than he really is. So oftentimes you'll have a person just kind of write really normal, but then when he writes his name, it looks really strange or hard to read or really embellished or whatever. And so your first name is different than your last name. Your first name represents your image, and your last name represents your family image. So you'll find oftentimes the person's first name is bigger than his last name. That shows that you feel that you can succeed more than your family and your mom and dad before you. Feel that you have more advantages than they do. On the other hand, if your last name is bigger than your first name, it'll show that you put a lot of weight on what your parents did for you and you give them a lot of credit. You hold them in high esteem. If on your last name, if you make some type of weird destructive sign, like let's say Dewey, say if I did something like that and drew a line through it, it shows that I was probably abused as a child or something like that. Something about the family name that really would bother me to draw a line while I like.
That is so funny. You know, JJ, I don't know. I had a handwriting book that I remember where it said that when you, like if you go back through your name to cross a T or dot an I, that you were like canceling yourself out.
Well, it depends on how it goes. If it's just, if you make a T cross, like time, and then go back and cross a T like that, there's nothing wrong with that.
But if you go through
the name, any line that goes through the name is a pretty bad sign.
I go through my last name 3 times.
Right through your name? Really?
Last name?
Really?
A T in the middle of it?
Well, that makes sense knowing your history, huh? Yeah, maybe you ought to change that. It might help you release some of those feelings to change. It might help you release some of those feelings to quit doing that.
To quit doing that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because it just shows those feelings are still there, you know.
Okay.
That bothered you so much.
Well, my signatures are unreadable, like a doctor's. I start the first initial, and then you can't read the rest of it. And you said last time, you said that someone who doesn't finish their name is a good manager because let's delegate things.
Yeah, it just depends. And sometimes it can show a good manager. If you have too much missing, then it just shows you're taking too many shortcuts. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what if your signature looks exactly like your normal writing?
Then what you see is what you get.
Okay. How come your signature can be different? There's some days mine's different than other days.
Yeah. Well, because your mood changes from day to day. Yeah, to really give a 100% accurate analysis, you should have handwriting samples over a period of several months. And then you look and see how much change has occurred in the writing, and you can see how stable the person is or how consistent the person is. You can tell most of it by one sample, but it's always nice to have samples over a period of time.
Can you analyze, people who print, can you analyze their
Sure.
thing in the same way you can do handwriting?
Yeah, you can analyze Chinese if you want.
Okay. Well,
yeah, there's two types of analysis schools. One is called graphoanalysis, the other is called graphology. And there are two schools that are kind of competing against each other, both claim to have the best way to analyze, and I've studied both of them and taken the best out of both schools of thought. Okay, yeah.
What about writing the whole page?
Okay, let's suppose we have a roll and two guys named Joe shows up. One guy writes Joe like this. Okay, one guy writes Joe like that. The other guy writes Joe like this. Okay, which one's going to be the more act to be the life of the party? Why do you think that? You're not. You guys aren't professional analysts. Why would you think that?
Right.
The guy that writes big wants to make a big impression. Okay. The guy that writes small doesn't. That's not important to him. Now, if he writes small and there's really good detail in the writing, shows he's has good powers of concentration. Be a good watch repairman, computer repairman, or something like that. Or a good artist, maybe where a lot of details involved. And so how big you write shows a number of things. Now remember, there's three zones. There's the upper zone, like in the L, and A represents the middle zone, A and M, and letters like that. And then the lower zone is represented here. The farther into the lower zone we go, the more materialistic the person is, the more his mind stretches into the material side. The farther it goes into the upper zone, the more his mind stretches into the abstract spiritual side of life. Now, religious fanatics usually write with a very high upper zone. They're right way up there. People with a real high upper zone are often religious fanatics. Whenever I get a number of letters in the mail from really fundamentalist religion people, often trying to set me straight, and whenever I get one of those type of letters, they always write with a really high upper zone. But the best upper zone is just a moderately goes up moderately high, but not really high. Shows that your mind goes into the zone of the abstract, spiritual, unmaterialistic zone where you're willing to explore ideas.
But you do both.
Yeah, you can do both. Some people have a high upper zone and a long lower zone. So some people are able to explore into the spiritual abstract, yet also be grounded in the material world. The bigger the middle zone in relation to the upper and lower zone, the more you are centered on the social aspect of life. That represents your social consciousness.
Where?
The middle zone, like the A's and the M's and N's. That represents the middle zone. Upper zone is up here. This is the A's. The word lily has upper and middle zone. Oh, that's all there. Okay, so this is the middle zone, right here. This is the upper zone, right here. And this is the lower zone. The lower zone represents the material side. The middle zone represents the social side. People with a big middle zone, they should work around other people, like either being a salesman or being a receptionist or something where you're around people, where you be a strong person people. They don't like being alone for long periods of time. People with a high upper zone, they're good with like the abstract side of life. And the lower zone, people are good out with the material side.
What if you don't
want to succeed with the material side?
JJ, what if you don't dot your I?
Well, it usually shows you're absent-minded.
Oh.
Unless you do it on purpose. Some people don't do it on purpose, and that way they're making a statement.
Or what if you dot the I above, what?
Above another letter?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about the I dots then, since you brought that up. If you dot the I dot precisely in the same place each time, shows you're very consistent and have good powers of concentration. If you dot the I dot over here, it shows that you're kind of jumped the gun on things a little bit. If you dot the I dot over here, it shows you tend to procrastinate. If you dot the I dot fairly high up, it shows you have somewhat of imagination. If you dot 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 inconsistently, it shows you're inconsistent. If you dot dot most of the time, but miss about a third of the time, it shows you're absent-minded. You know.
I've seen some people use a circle to dot their I. Does that mean anything?
Yeah, those are people who want attention.
Wait a minute, JJ. So what if you dot it over the like the next letter, like all mine are dotted on the next letter?
To the right. Yeah, it shows you are. You like to plan ahead, and sometimes jump the gun a little bit. Yeah. Sometimes you'll jump the gun a little bit, be a little bit eager to get things done. You know, in a rush to get things done sometimes. Yeah. Okay, now what was I talking about before the I dot?
Upper and lower selves.
Oh, the lower self is the material self is interesting. There's several ways to complete your why. A person that has a large completed why shows a number of things. Shows ability to consummate his material goals. People that have a large loop like that, and it goes down quite a ways, shows a pretty good ability to consummate his material goals. And they usually, these type of people are usually fairly well off financially because they put quite a bit of energy in this. If the Y goes way down like this, it also shows desire for variety and change. Desire for variety and change.
What did he say wrong?
So this guy here, he really likes a lot of variety. Now the loop shows a number of things. This is a very consummating loop, like I said. It shows an ability to consummate his material goals and to focus on the material side. But the amount of inclusiveness in the loop shows inclusiveness. This guy is very inclusive. He includes everybody as his friend. This guy doesn't include everybody. He includes most people. This guy only includes about a smaller percentage. And this guy is very distrusting. You got to really win his trust before he will include you in his inner circle. So the amount of inclusiveness in the loop shows how much he will include you into his inner circle.
What if there's no loop? It's just a straight line.
Yeah, straight line.
Watch out.
Yeah, that shows a person isn't, he may be have some interest in the material side, but he doesn't consummate material goals. He has a difficulty consummating material goals, and he's not as concerned about material success as the guy with the loop. And I don't make loops, and my whys are like this. You know, I have a hard time putting a lot of attention on succeeding with material goals. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perhaps if I want to get rich, I'd start making a big loop in my whys. I really never did that before.
G's and
Z's. Yeah. G's. Well, there's a number of. G's have loops. The loops are interpreted just like the Y's. But then you have a number of different G's. G's that look like figure eights shows a very versatile person. But I'd have to look at the other ones. Do you make unusual G's? Okay, you got a slide back hand, which shows that you have a fear of revealing all of your emotional self and fear of getting hurt. Now, when you were younger, did you suffer some emotional hurt somewhere? Did you? So, and that's often the case. About 9 out of 10 people ask that question through their backhand and think it's something. And so you don't want to go through that again, right? So, but you have to realize that you're invulnerable. So, and start concentrating on a slight forward swing. It wouldn't make a big change, but it's a slight change. Okay. You write with rounded letters. It shows that you like harmony. You don't like to create problems. You don't like big arguments. You're nurturing. You make a good nurse, good mother.
usually my print.
Yeah, well, that's okay.